Shaw. I'm one of the pastors here, pastor of Congregational Life and Discipleship. So if we've not met, I'd be delighted to meet you. Let me make sure this is this thing on? I almost never move from right here, so it may not matter, but I'm supposed to have this thing on too. This morning, we've spent the Sundays leading up to Christmas, what we call Advent. We've spent them talking about Advent, right? The coming of Jesus, or the second coming of Jesus, his return. And next week, we will return to our journey through John's Gospel. But this week, we're looking at a passage that churches in many places all over the world will be reading this week. There is a church calendar that many churches use. We are not bound to it, but sometimes it's meaningful to consider sort of the breadth of the global church in the world by using passages from what would be called a common lectionary, right? And so this week, all of our liturgy, all the things that you, passages you've read, all come from the recommended readings for churches who use this common lectionary. And this week, this second Sunday after Christmas, it's Jeremiah 31 and Psalm 147 and John 1 and Ephesians 1. And if you read all of those passages, you'll see that they're characterized by this rich theme of God gathering and blessing his people. Right? And so this morning, actually, what you will see in the bulletin is the title of the sermon is God as He Gathers, and that's what I came up with when I was sort of examining all these passages, and it may not fit this sermon this morning as much as I would have wanted it to, but I want us to be thinking about today and this week about God bringing his people from the farthest parts and redeeming his special possession, the joy of his blessing and the glory of his salvation, right? We can only preach on one this morning, so we are looking at Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, going through verse 14. This is Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, likely written while he was in prison. And it's not only will we just look at one passage this morning, and you may know this, but we are only, though it's different in our English Bible, we're actually only looking at one sentence. A sentence that's very long, and it seems to just bubble out of Paul as he begins this letter, inspired by the Holy Spirit. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. This is God's word. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purposes, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth in him. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." Friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let me pray before we consider our passage this morning. God, would you, by your Holy Spirit, work in us that which you would have us to know? Would you be glorified in stirring up by your Spirit new awareness of our sin and new delight in your love for us? Would you show us what you would have us know about your love and what it means for us to follow you in faith? Would you do that for your glory, for the good of the church? In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is the week where so many of us maybe use the phrase or think about the idea, new year, new you, right? How much time have you spent this week thinking about 2026, right? You get your calendars out. If you're like my family, my wife and I, we get our calendars out. Sometimes we get them out 5 different times during the day thinking that we're going to get 2026 figured out. Or maybe you clean out this first week of the year and you get rid of old things that you don't need anymore. Or maybe you make some goals and you make resolutions for the year. You reflect on last year, but you wonder what this year is going to hold. And you make plans with optimism and good intentions that this will be the year. And sometimes it is, and sometimes it's not, right? This can be a time that feels fresh, and it feels new, and it feels exciting. And sometimes this can be a season that feels overwhelming, right? Or maybe a hint of sadness, because maybe you have a child who's in the class of 2026, which means 6 months from now, they'll be leaving home. Or maybe you're approaching some other deadline or milestone, right? But all of us together are thinking, what will happen this year? Right? Will things go as planned? Winston-Salem, the town, the place, this whole thing that is Winston-Salem, I did not even know where it was on a map other than it was North Carolina last year during January. And here I am. What will this year hold? I want to tell you this morning that in the midst of all of the wondering and all of the projections and all of the resolutions and all of the hopes, I want to tell you what will happen for sure this year, 1,000%. No matter what you think is happening, no matter how you think it's going, whether or not your plans will come to fruition, I can tell you this. What has been happening and what will happen for you this year if you're in Christ, you will be blessed with every spiritual blessing. You are being declared holy and blameless. You will be loved by God. You will be His child. This year, you will have redemption through His blood. You will have this year forgiveness of sin. You will experience the lavishing of God's grace in His wisdom according to His plan. Your life will be according to God's purpose for the fullness of time. And you will this year live under the seal and promise and the guarantee of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that good news? Right? So before that's all that this passage says, right? It's almost like some people talk about trying to figure out the order of this passage, right? Which things go where, and does God love us and then save us, or does He set us apart and then all these things? But as I've heard it, this passage described, this passage is like a jewel. If you hold it up and you look at it from every different angle, it sort of explodes with new life, and that's the way that I hope that you will. But all of those things that I just described are all what just sort of spew out of Paul as he begins his letter from prison to people that he knows love and follow Jesus. So before we embark on 2026 and all our plans and speculations and projections, to know, it's important for us to know what is foundationally and undoubtedly true for those who are in Christ. Yesterday, I was driving in my car. I have a bad transmission in my car, and I'm coming to terms with that. So much so that it's not really working anymore, right? And so I had to take my car to a transmission shop. I had it towed somewhere, and then I thought, you know what? I'm gonna see if I can drive it. It was this bold, brave thing that I was doing. But I had Ethan, another pastor here, and his daughter Addie were following me a few feet behind. And I was thinking it'll take me 15 minutes, maybe 25 minutes to get to the place, the transmission shop that I'm going. And about 15 minutes into the drive, Ethan calls me, and I answer my phone, and he says, "Hey, are we going to your house? Or are we going to the transmission shop?" And I slowly pull over, which I'm going slow anyway, and I look at my phone, and I realize that as I'd gone back on my directions to re-enter, avoid highways, right? So you don't want to get on a highway with a bad transmission. When I had done that, it had reset my destination to my house, right? These wonderful phones that just sort of predict where they think you're going. I had accidentally entered home, and so I'd driven 15 minutes towards my house without realizing, right? I was so locked in on the RPMs and the sound of my engine. And who else was on the road, and was Ethan still behind me, and was someone going to run me off the road? I could not keep track of where I was going. And that is a bad feeling, right? What might have happened, right? I when I realized I was going the wrong way, I thought, oh my goodness, am I even going to be able to get there? Like, I've used all this time and effort and energy and focus, trying to get there, and now I don't even know if I'll make it. We did make it. My car is sitting at the transmission shop. Hope to hear from them tomorrow. But life can feel like that, right? Life can feel like that. I don't know if I'm going to get where I'm supposed to go. And I want us to be reminded of what's true right now and always if you are in Christ. The first thing is this, based on the passage, if you are in Christ, you are being drawn by the Father to Himself as dearly loved children. Right? Our temptation is to look at 2026 and what we want to be or what we want to become. And listen, goals are good. Goals are good, but sometimes if we think about them, goals can sometimes show us the things, they can show us some things about ourselves. Goals can show us the things that we think will make us whole or make us acceptable. The things that we think, if I had this much more of this thing, or if I was this much more this way, then I would be secure. Right? Maybe we think if I lose X number of pounds, or if I save X number of dollars this year, or if I achieve this professional achievement this year, if I spend this much more time with my kids, or go on this many dates with my spouse, or if I stop drinking, or if I start exercising, and all of these are really fine goals, these are good goals. But also, this is a good opportunity for us to ask, what do I want to be? Or a better question is, what do I think will be true of me if I accomplish these things? Because these are often, when we think of what is an indication of my success, or an indication of what I am supposed to become, is it that I want to become more lovable or more attractive or more respected and valued at work or at home, or to be a better spouse or a better parent? And it's easy to get fixated on how next year will be and how it will be better because I'll be more secure. But a good reminder for us this morning, what Paul is saying is that right now, you are a beloved child of God the Father. That's the first several verses of this passage say, however the word predestination lands with you, and this is where you're saying, oh, this is the first sermon of the year at a Presbyterian church, and so we're talking about predestination. However that word lands with you, at least let it sink in that any security that you think you will move towards this year is already so secure that it was established by God before you were born, before anyone was born, before the foundations of the world. It is so secure that if these ideas seem public, puzzling or troublesome to you or overwhelming, then you're hearing it correctly, right? Because it is astounding and confounding to us to consider what it means that God loved us before the foundations of the world. Right? We've never had a day when by our own resolve, and this is what I want to land with us as we think about resolve, resolutions, right? We never had a day when by our resolutions we made ourselves acceptable to God. We never had a day when our resolutions, and sometimes we can even think, even if I don't get it, resolving to do these things, having good goals is what makes me acceptable. And the reality is this, God delights in you as His child as securely and as certainly as we delight in our children before they were even born, right? That is true of you right now. If you are in Christ. Second thing that's true that's happening this year is that you are forgiven of your trespasses and sins. He talks in the second section of the passage about redemption, right? This is specific forgiveness for you in His wisdom. Let me see if I can illustrate it this way. Sometimes we need to clarify exactly what we owe. I don't know if you're a kid and you haven't gotten to this place yet. Maybe you will at some point. Or maybe you remember from college the first time that you sort of took on some kind of financial debt or a loan of some kind, and you look at these sheets of loan information, and there's a schedule and there's an amount of money and it's a lot and you're thinking, how does this work? And even when you communicate with people, you think, there's this thing called a loan which has principal and it has interest, and sometimes you're paying only one of these and sometimes you're paying the other part, and it's gonna be a long time before y'all get it all figured out. Or maybe you're talking with someone about a bill, a medical bill or something, and you just think, and I've heard myself and I've heard my wife both say this on the phone, somebody, hey, like, I want to know, let me make sure that I'm clear, like, this is what I'm paying for. You agreeing with that? Yeah, and I need to know exactly, and can you send me that in writing, right? Because we always want to know exactly what we're paying for and what we're getting, because vagueness can feel kind of shaky, right? Or maybe sometimes we think of forgiveness from God like this. We maybe you've been somewhere and you think, I'm not sure I'm in the right place, right? I don't know. Maybe you remember being in college and sitting in, and the teacher passes out the syllabus and it says the title of the class that you think you're supposed to be in at the top of the syllabus. But when she or he starts talking, you're thinking, there is no way. All of these people know what she is saying, and I have no idea, right? I am not supposed to be here. Sometimes when you hear forgiveness, and you hear that it's for all who would come, you might think, well, I clearly need something different than these other people. But what this passage reminds us is that forgiveness and blessing and grace that are lavished upon us are lavished on us, as it describes, in all wisdom and insight. Your specific needs. One reason that we have a time of confession every Sunday morning, and we sort of confess together, and then we say, give you a few moments of silence to confess your own sin. The reason we do that, one reason we do that, is so that we have the opportunity to specifically recall ways that we have failed, or that we have, as I often say, become, you know, poignantly or profoundly convinced that we're not who we wish we were. And we get to name those sins before God silently, and we get to be reminded that those specific sins, your sins, the way that you are, the way that you sin, even if it's different from the person next to you, even if they're really good at things that you're not, the forgiveness that is offered to us and that we're invited to experience in the church is for our specific needs and our specific sin, that Jesus knows and has all wisdom and insight into who you are and how you struggle, and you are forgiven for that. Have you ever confessed? I bet you remember a time when you were a kid, when you've sort of been caught in something and you confess a little less than what really happened because you think, well, my parents will forgive me for, you know, this, but I'm not going to tell them what really happened, right? Because you think, they may not actually forgive me for that. But what this passage tells us is that God, in all his wisdom and insight, in his knowledge of who you are all the way down to your core, forgives you and has redeemed you from all of it. This year, right now, it's true. The last thing I want us to think about this morning is that we are, as this passage tells us, headed for glory. As vulnerable as I was yesterday, with my transmission barely working, it was a little rainy on the road. I kept having to pull over, turn my car off. I don't know if this was a smart thing to do. I don't know much about cars, but for some reason, if I would pull over, turn my car off, I would kind of trick my car into thinking transmission was working again. So I would turn it off, re-crank it, put it in gear, and we'd start going slow again. I felt so vulnerable, but as vulnerable as I was yesterday, even with Ethan, my good friend, behind me watching out, even when he caught my error of going the wrong way, as much as it might feel that way for us in life, we get to be reminded that we are the beloved of God. That's not really the kind of journey that we are on. We're not trying to get to the transmission shop with a broken transmission and hoping that we can do every little thing right and hoping that we don't run out of gas and hoping that there are enough little gears on our transmission. I don't really know if this is how it works. that there are enough, it catches enough times that it keeps turning my wheels that I get there. That's not the kind of journey that we're on. And maybe the analogy I'm about to use breaks down, just like all analogies do when we're talking about God. But I want you to imagine that you're on a journey, and you are in a vessel, and you are navigating, and you are checking course, and you're adjusting, and you're refueling, and you're making mistakes, and you feel like you've crashed a few times, and you get so focused on the RPMs of your engine, or you get so focused on the rain, or you get so focused on how certain you are that you are off course. What you sometimes need to be reminded of in those moments is this, that the vessel you are on, it's more like a train. Of course, the analogy breaks down, but here's the truth. You're not in your car trying to get to the transmission shop. You are on a train, and you are going to get home. Right? All things work according to the counsel of His will, such that if your hope is in Christ, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit, right? Very God of very God. The Holy Spirit dwells in you, the Holy Spirit who is as much God as God the Father and God the Son indwells in you, God's precious child to whom He has given Himself in Christ and to whom He has given Himself in the Holy Spirit. You belong to the Father. You've been bought by the blood of Jesus the Son, and you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And I confess to you that in 2025, in our journey sort of across the country and to a new place that we didn't know about, I've really struggled with this lately, how very quickly I think, okay, God, I know you say this, but while you're up there doing your thing, I'm going to really focus on all these things to worry about. And I'm going to try and figure out a way to position myself to not need to be your child. And I'm going to position myself to not need to depend on Jesus. And that's just sometimes what we do. And sometimes we do that, and it sort of plays itself out in the way that we resolve at the beginning of the year, this is how it's going to be this year. I'm not going to be the person who needs all these other things. I'm not going to be the person who's unhealthy. I'm not going to be the person who's not a good husband. I'm not going to be the person who gets, who has financial difficulties, because I'm going to resolve myself to do better. Do you remember when the prodigal son returned to his father? Do you remember what his planned speech was? The prodigal son's plan was he thought, I'm going to go back to my dad, and I'm going to say, look, you don't need to consider me your son anymore. Just treat me like a hired hand. Because he was thinking, I know that he's not going to forgive me, but I know that he like has a lot of people working there, and they have a better life than I do. And so if I can just slide in there and just, look, he's going to go back to his dad and say, just treat me like a hired hand, because I don't need to be considered your son. And what's the father do? We only know that speech because he rehearses it for us. He doesn't get to finish that sentence when he encounters the father. The father won't even let him finish the sentence. He says, come and be restored to me and know that you're my son. Listen, I don't know how you feel about 2026. I don't know what 2026 will hold for you as we can understand it. You could get promoted, or you could get fired. You could become more fit than you even were in your 20s. Or you could be diagnosed with a very difficult disease. But what is given for us in one sentence for us to read and to reread are these things that are true, that we hear from Paul, who is in prison. And I hope we don't have to end up in prison for these things to sort of crystallize for us. But nothing will surpass this in importance for you this year, that you know and that you are able to delight in, and you take the opportunity to delight in all these things. And for some of us, this may be a good reminder this morning, and you may be thinking, yes, I need to remember that. And some of you may be hearing this and thinking, I have never heard that before, or that has never sounded like that to me, or there's something that's stirring in me that I don't know if it's ever landed with me that way. But the invitation is the same for all of us at the same time, right? That the news is just as good, whether you've known it for a long time or whether it's landing with you maybe for the first time. And it's the only way we will move from frustrated self-evaluation to freedom to struggle. 2026 will not be a year in which you're free from struggle. We know that if you've been around long enough. You're not going to be free from struggle this year, but you are because of these things that are true of you in Christ. You have been set free to struggle as we move towards who we were created to be, that we are going to be brought home. And that is good news. Let me pray for us. Father, would you this morning, even as we consider these things, would you stir up in us a new hope and a new delight and a new joy? Would you show us these things maybe in ways that we've never considered them? Would you open up your word for us, even in this one sentence that Paul wrote? Would you show us a greater depth of your love for us and a greater hope and greater possibilities? Would you set us free this year to move towards you for our security? Would you set us free from the expectation that we can make ourselves free from need of you? Would you show us that the truest and greatest joy is for us to find our wholeness and our security and our newness of life only in you? And would you do that for us for your glory, for the good of your people? We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.